Blind Cool Tech, number 72, August 5, 05. Hey y'all, how is everybody? I'm Larry Skutkan, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. We are going to do some email before we head off to work and have a discussion about phishing. That's phishing with a P. And you don't want to go phishing. We'll talk about that in just a moment. I'd also like to, before we even do that, I'd like to show you how this process of importing an OPML file works with iPodder. If you will recall, a couple of shows back, I uploaded some OPML files, I think the best of the best and blind podcasters. And this is a very convenient way for you just to suck all these in at once into your podcatching application. So let's switch over to iPodder, and I'll just demonstrate how
C-pod,
that works.
Window eyes, C-pods, inbox out, iPodder podcast receiver V2.
So what you want to do is go to the file menu.
File pull down.
And down arrow.
Import feeds from OPML. Control Shift O dialog.
So control import feeds from OPML.
Menu
so
closed.
Press enter.
Combo. Edit box. Dialog. Select.
And I happen to have mine in a
Morning
folder.
Coffee notes. 1 of 5. No selected. Combo. Edit.
That's at C:\, just temporarily. So I put C:\ in the edit box. And then I shift tab.
Blind dot OPML. 1.
So there's blind.opml. I just press enter.
iPodder podcast receiver V2.1. Okay. Button. Message. 15 feeds imported. Default.
And that's all there is to it.
iPodder podcast.
So now we have 15 shows that we're subscribed to. And by the way, if any of you know of other podcasters who are blind or visually impaired that we should keep included in our blindpodcasters.opml file, please email them to us, blindcooltech@gmail.com, or let us know in some way, and we'll be sure and add them in there. I realized just this morning I forgot to put the ACB radio podcast in there, so I'll be adding that and probably be trying to find a way to put a link to those two OPMLs in a more obvious place on the website so that as more shows get posted, they won't get buried. All right, let's check our email. We're going to borrow a microphone from work this afternoon to play around with this weekend. I've got a feeling this computer down here is going to be so noisy that it's not going to be worth trying anything, but we'll see.
Studio right. Record C-Pod, Window Up, C-Pod, Inbox, Outlook, Express,
Let's check
Inbox.
Out the email.
Accept. Dear sirs or ma'ams, I just found your cool website and love it. As a blind person interested in technology, one of my hobbies is ham radio and listening to public service broadcasts on scanners. I have been wondering how to leverage scanner companies such as Uniden to produce scanners with accessible features. I have emailed Uniden CEO, Al Silverberg, who has responded, but says there is nothing they can do about it. In short, I have the distinct impression that those of us hobbyists who are blind are being left further and further behind with every new generation of new and better scanner. It seems that the accessibility provisions in the Telecom Act do not apply, and there is no reason for companies such as Uniden to spend any extra time money on making their stuff accessible. I am just wondering if you guys have any solutions on this matter. The problems, as you are I am sure well aware, are not limited to scanners, but encompass a wide array of consumer products from T5s to even dishwashers that no longer have a knob but membrane selector buttons, and the list goes on. Any suggestions as to how to apply pressure to companies would be much appreciated. It seems that we need a concerted effort to raise the level of awareness about these problems, like when the federal government put pressure on Microsoft to make its Windows accessible and work with third-party vendors to achieve this objective. Well, thanks for the way cool website. I look or rather listen forward to more great programs. Best regards, Jim Gammon.
Okay, Jim. Yeah, this is a long-standing issue and a complex one, unfortunately. Be sure and check out the Accessible Home Showcase podcast we did from the floor of the NFB convention. There are actually some companies, whether by accident or on purpose, that are making controls now for kitchen appliances, at least, and other equipment that are not the membrane type. So, again, I don't know the aspects of the Telecommunications Act and which apply and don't. Maybe any of our listeners who are more fluent in that area of the law can comment on this about why that would not apply. You know, one would hope that these manufacturers would realize, much like, you know, I always make the analogy about curb cuts, how, you know, they were meant for wheelchairs, but everybody benefits from them, you know, people with baby strollers and so forth. And very similar thing with the Rockbox firmware for the for some of the MP3 players. You know, this voice option was added as a kind of a thing for blind people to use, but most of the sighted people use it as well because, you know, they want to be able to be driving their car while they operate their MP3 player, and that way they don't have to look down at the display, of course. All right, next email.
Hi, love the podcast I have listened to so far. My one concern is that on the Blind Cool site there are no categories for all the podcasts. Is it possible to put them into folders like Bookport, Louisville, etc.? It would make it easier to find specific ones, since the list is growing. Also, did I miss the one that on using the Bookport as a note-taker? I believe it was mentioned on the listserv that it was to be recorded soon. I find these most helpful when learning a new device or feature. By the way, I love my Bookport and it travels with me all the time. Thanks for all the hard work put into the design. Gloria Radia Lois Grod.
Okay, Gloria, that is a terrific idea. I can't believe me or anyone I know has thought of organizing them in that way. I was actually thinking, well, I must admit, pretty un-out-of-the-boxy about just organizing them month by month, but I should actually start putting categories in the description so I could have something that would automatically sort them into the areas they go. That is a great idea, and we will work on that. As for the Note Taker podcast, we have not done that yet. That will be coming up very soon. So be looking forward to that. All right, next email.
Hi, Larry. On a recent podcast, you mentioned the Tweedledum. I have one and used it for several years when I had dial-up service. Now that I have DSL, there are times I'd like to have a similar device. Do you know if there is a Tweedledum that can be used with DSL? I guess a device could be developed that would connect between the network card in the computer and the DSL modem, but there probably aren't many people who would want such a device. I always thought an on-off switch would have been a nice feature on it. Someone mentioned in an email message that they would like to have a method of knowing when the CD drive or the hard drive was being accessed. I use a light sensor for this purpose. When I clone a partition of my hard drive to another partition or CD, the hard drive is so quiet that I can't always tell if anything is happening. All I have to do is hold the light sensor up to the hard drive light and I can quickly tell if there is hard drive activity or not. Another device that I've often thought would be nice to have is something that could sense several different light sources. For example, it would have 5 or 6 small light sensors with miniature suction cups connected to a cable. The suction cups could attach to a light. The cable would go to a box that would have push buttons to push to select any of the sensors. I know that ideas are a dime a dozen, but to actually produce one, that is a different story. I think I heard about Blind Cool Tech on the ACB radio program. Marlena. Bye and keep the podcasts coming. Always enjoy them.
Okay, that's a terrific idea. It strikes me at first that it would be rather expensive to manufacture such a specialized device. And, you know, that is one of the biggest problems about for manufacturing devices for blind people. There just aren't enough of us. So it makes it not worth a company's time, except, you know, specialized companies that realize what they're getting into with the small markets. You know, I was just reading a story yesterday in the New York Times about a company that manufactures a cradle to connect both your house landline and your cell phone line into, so that you can just answer whichever one you want, depending, you know, if it's nights or weekends, you'd want to use cell phone and get the free rates, blah, blah, blah. And they were saying they realized it was a small percentage of cell phone users, but then they realized, you know, they said that there are 40% of the Earth's population is expected to have cell phones in the next few years, and that is a lot of people, and just a minute segment of that market is still a big market. So, you know, you have to look at it that way. Okay, we're going to switch over and head on out to work and talk about fishing. Okay, we're back. Using the little Olympus DS2. Just heading down the front steps. There's a great smell out this morning. I think of these bushes I have by my house have two interesting smells. In the springtime, good boy, they have an awful smell. I don't know what it is. It smells like, smells to me like cat urine. But during the summer like this, there's a sweet smell. And I have them on both sides of my porch, and then at the corner of the house by the garage. And then there's, oh, like 11 or 12 steps from the street. Yeah, we're going to go right today, little buddy. A lot of traffic already. Well, we could cross now. Yeah, let's do. No, here it comes. Yeah. Okay. Got 11 or 12 steps from the street up my front walk. Good boy. That have these bushes on each side of them. So that's quite a prevalent, I wouldn't call it an odor, but a smell. Yeah, we were talking a minute ago about a lot of birds in that bush, huh, little buddy? I went out this morning to have my coffee and realized I left the sprinkler on in my garden all night. Fortunately, it was very low. And I, you know, I told myself I need to shut this off before I go to bed. I didn't do it. So, the garden is well watered today. We haven't had rain in quite a while. Good boy. Tight squeeze there, huh, little buddy? Yeah, we were talking a minute ago about the handset device that lets you connect your landline and your cell line. That's it. There I go with that coughing again. Into the same handset. And this is a, you know, it acts like a regular cordless phone. Good gosh. And then you just select which line you want to use. But I don't know about any of you guys, but ever since I switched away from Sprint on my cell phone service over to T-Mobile, my service and the quality of the connections has been good enough
that I really, I just dropped the whole landline thing, and this has been about a year and a half ago now, and I have not missed it a bit. You know, everybody has their own cell phone now. So, what the heck's the use, you know? There's a couple of things that it'd be nice to have a landline for. Mainly in connection with connecting to the PC and so forth, but I think I'll probably, if I want to do that, I'll use the voice over internet protocol. Oh, with Sprint. Man, I couldn't walk in the house. I'd lose reception. If I was in the basement, I was roaming. And so far with this T-Mobile, well, you know, now that I've got this accessible the screen reader software running on the Nokia 3650, I can check the status of the battery and the number of bars for the network, which I didn't show you guys that. In fact, you can do Talks key 2. So, see, battery 7 bars. Well, I've actually got voicemail. I didn't even realize it. One of the things I'd like to get with this phone is to, there's actually a little program you can buy that'll generate a tone or some kind of little sound every few minutes when you have a voicemail, because you have to think to check it. You have to look at the screen. So you can just press that and get the status of, you know, like it said, documents in the inbox, Bluetooth on, blah, blah, blah. Battery 7 bars, network 7 bars. Very cool stuff. So yeah, with Sprint, I mean, even in my basement I was roaming, in the garage, which in my case is level with the basement since I'm on that hill. In other words, you walk out of the basement right into the garage. Forget it in there. There were places going down Frankfort Avenue or Grinstead, which is the street that runs parallel to Frankfort here, that service would just drop out. So far, knock on wood, there's only been very few places where I don't get service with T-Mobile. One of them is in the exhibit hall at CSUN, which is California State University at Northridge Technology Conference, which happens every March in Los Angeles, or Culver City, I guess, actually, which is, I guess you'd call it a little neighborhood in Los Angeles, right by the airport there. And I was talking with a guy there last year, and he tells me that Verizon will actually provide service there. It's really the worst possible environment for a cell phone because it's way down in the basement. I mean, way down. It's maybe like 2 floors, and so I don't even know how Verizon does it. And I'm not really that technical with the different technologies that the cell phone companies use, but I do know that his Verizon phone was working fine. Oh, what else has been going on? Oh, Shelly came over the other night. Well, it was that night we went to the Fat Friday. She picked Marla. She picked me up from work because I needed to watch Marley while she went to work. And got out there and her car wouldn't start. Battery was dead. And she had noticed that the battery was getting weaker and weaker. She drives a Nissan Maxima. It's an older one, 89, I believe it is. Nice car, though. And, you know, it's one of these things I'm trying to get it through my kid's head. Look, just save up the money. You know, just buy a cheap car. Get you through till you're out of college. So that's what she did. I think she paid like $1,500 for this thing. It's been about a year ago or so now. We bought it, in fact, at an auto auction up here. You know, it was too old to put on a car lot. But it's been a good little car for her. Anyway, I thought, well, why don't I try at least tightening up the cables, because I noticed one of them was loose. Lo and behold, I could not find my socket set. I guess I haven't used it since I moved in this house, probably. Well, I knew I was missing it. Didn't have any open-ended wrenches. So, she's saying, let me just get some pliers. Gosh, I hated to do that, because, you know, that boogers up the nut when you do that. And then, from then on, you're cursing yourself every time you deal with that nut, because it's rounded off or whatever. So what we decided to do, we get Liz to jump us, and the next day, and we went to Sears, and I said, well, park over here by the battery department, automotive department. What we'll do is just go in and buy a set of wrenches. We'll try giving this thing a good tightening. If that doesn't work, we'll just go back in and buy a battery, and I can just put it on out here in the parking lot. So went in there and bought some nice set of Craftsman open-ended and box on the other end wrenches for, I don't know, they were only like $24, which I need them anyway, so got out there and tightened that thing up. Oh man. What, I don't know if I'm just too weird or what, but when you've got the right tool, the job is so easy and straightforward. And especially if you keep track and know exactly where everything's at. Over the years, I've learned, you know, put these tools back where you can find them. Even if you're working on something, you know, I used to have the tendency to lay it down and then, you know, I'd spend half my time looking for whatever tool I was using. So I ended up getting a carpenter's pouch with a hammer hook on it. I think the girls got it for me for my birthday several years ago. And I'll just put my tools I'm using in that so I don't run into this thing of laying them down somewhere and then searching for half the day to find them. Oh, that's so frustrating. So that's a, you know, that's a good tip for you. If you're gonna do a project where you're using some tools, keep them in a consistent place. So anyway, we got back out to the car and tightened up the battery terminal, and boom, things started right up. Lo and behold. So she says, well, let's try it again. So she turned it off and left the radio running for a few minutes, and it didn't start. Now, probably what we should have done, really, is let that battery charge up with the terminal nice and tight. But it was a 3-year-old battery anyway, so we went ahead, went in, and bought a new one, brought it out, and breeze to install with the new tools. the good tools. That's another thing too, you know, if you're gonna buy a set of wrenches, they had some cheaper ones. I think they were called Companion or something. But, you know, you only theoretically need to buy these once or twice in a lifetime, so why get the cheapos? You know, these craftsmen, they're not gonna bend or expand on you. And I do believe they're even warranted against loss, definitely against breakage or bending. So the thing is to keep track of them and know where they are, both in your toolbox and while you're using them. So anyway, we get the battery on there, breeze to put on, and we're good. So next day, Rachel, my youngest daughter, comes over, and she also just bought a car from there. She bought a, this was her second car from there. She had bought a 88 Honda Accord, and that's been over a year ago, too. And, it had, you know, some bad rust spots above the back fenders, which apparently it's not that uncommon on those older Hondas, at least the Accords. And someone ran into the side of her car, and she just, I kind of wish she'd have kept it and fixed, you know, just gotten it fixed, because it was a nice, reliable car, 5-speed, and she learned to drive a stick and got to where she really loved it. But anyway, she bought a new, not a new, 93 Camry. And she went to leave and it wouldn't start. So we jumped her and thought it was her battery, but I noticed when we got under there, oh my gosh, the engine was really hot. I mean, too hot to touch and look around a little bit. Well, car dies on the way home. And she happened to be close to a gas station, so she got it there, and turned out the fan belt broken. And that would do it, you know, that fan belt goes around your alternator and your air conditioner. So she got that replaced, and next day she calls me at work about 3:00 PM. No, my car did the same thing. So I had it towed in, not last night, day before, yesterday, back to the station, and asked the guys to check to see if there was something on one of those pulleys that was either locking it up or rubbing to cause that fan belt to keep breaking. So, the fun of cars, but you know, I can't stand to see a young person get into debt while they're still in school, and then by the time they get out of school, it's, you know, it takes them 10 years to get everything paid off. It's worth a little bit of hassle to run an old car like that. That's one of the biggest things I regret is buying new cars. I had a lot of cars when I was a kid, because my dad was a mechanic after he retired from the Air Force, worked for the Arkansas Highway Department. And, you know, we'd spend time on the weekends fixing up the cars and stuff, and had some enjoyable memories about it, but it did make me realize that when I grew up, I wanted a clean job. I didn't like all those tight spaces and racking your knuckles and getting all greasy. Good boy. So straight. That's it, little buddy. We are crossing Ewing Avenue. Good doggy. So that's how I got into computer programming. Well, that was one of the reasons. I actually like.
Hey,
Kathy.
How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm here to Walgreens.
Great. How about with you? Yeah, it's about time. That was Kathy Johnson. She's I don't know if you call her a teacher. She works at the next door at the Kentucky School for the Blind. She used to be physical education. My goodness. Teacher over at KSB. I think she's more into special kinds of projects and seminars they host there and so forth now. Well, that siren will be a good test for our limiting capabilities on the Olympus. So, anyway, yeah, that's... But, all that grease and everything wasn't my cup of tea. And, you know, all hot up under there in those tight little spots. With the programming, you get to use a lot of tools and put a lot of things together in different ways, and you don't even manage to get dirty. And believe me, if anybody could get dirty, it was always me. I worked in the oil fields for a while. We were a roustabout team, which meant we were repairing oil wells in southwest Arkansas, northwest Louisiana, and northeast Texas there. And I don't know why, you know, at the end of the day, I was always the dirtiest one. I mean, black. They want to say hi. Oh, goodness. She barked at you, Jagsters. So I kept pushing to try to become the Derek man, because I always noticed he was always the cleanest, you know. Well, that didn't make any difference. Once I got up in the Derek, I was still dirty. Oh, well. Well, let's talk about fishing. So, grab your favorite lure and let's head out to the lake. Well, no, not that kind of fishing. We're talking about fishing with a P. And fishing with the P is the process of some unscrupulous person or entity that tries to get you to do something on your computer, usually to visit a bogus website so that they can grab personal information from you. And I think you've probably all seen these, and you know, it's the kind of message you get. Your PayPal account will be suspended 2 days if you do not take immediate action. That kind of thing. And, you know, there's this website, this email with links in it, and, you know, it gives you a place to click to go to your PayPal account and enter your information. But what's happening is you're not really going to PayPal. You're going to this spoof website, and they get your PayPal user ID and password. It doesn't have to be PayPal. It can be, you know, other. eBay has a lot of spoofers, a lot of fishers that impersonate eBay. And, you know, these things, you used to be able to spot these right off the bat because there'd be, you know, misspellings and a verb and a subject, the subjects wouldn't agree. But they've become a little more sophisticated in the last few years, and they actually look and seem to be legitimate. But Don't ever, ever click on a link in an email to a site where you have a personal logon and password, because that's what they're doing. They're trying to get that information from you so they can get, you know, in the case of PayPal, you know, they can start sending PayPal payments to themselves, or go out and buy merchandise and have it charged to your account. Good boy. You're a good little doggy, buddy. So, you know, the easiest way to avoid this, getting trapped into these phishing nets, is to, like exactly what I said, never click on a link in an email from a place like that. You know, it's kind of funny. Sometimes I'll get those at work, and I don't even have a PayPal associated with my work email, so. And they realize this. They just throw them out there to everybody. And, oh, you know, if they send out 1 million and get 10 or 20 hits, they've got something, you know, and it doesn't cost them anything to send out 1 million emails. So, if you're concerned that there really is a problem with your PayPal account or whatever the fish or suggests that the issue is, don't go through that email. You know, go to your browser and type the URL that you know gets you to the site of concern. So we are crossing the tracks. Good boy, little buddy. You're a good dog, Jake. You're the best of the best, aren't you? Yes, you are. Now, another variation of these is, you know, you've all seen these where, you know, you'll get a message about, you know, a bank document or any kind of document. Or, you know, another variation is you'll see emails that look like they come from someone you know. Don't do them. It's, you know, there's virus software now that will catch this, but early on, the preview window in Outlook Express was a problem because it could launch JavaScript little scriptlets that could do things. And I used to love to have that preview window open because I could just down arrow from item to item and read the message and deal with it right there. But I've actually turned that off now. It's actually a little better for performance, and you don't even have to worry about that. But most of the new virus, antivirus programs will catch those kinds of things. Speaking of virus programs, I was a little upset with McAfee this month because I had a yearly subscription to updates for theirs, which I had planned on stopping because I'm a little fed up with the way they catch the scripts in web pages. You know, that's fine to let me know there's a script, but hey, give me a button that says, okay, I know this script from this page is, you know, doing this, so ignore this site from now on. But they don't do that. So, I was not going to renew, and I thought, and I didn't even bother telling them because my debit card had expired since last year. I think it had expired in May of 2005, and this was 1st of August when they charged it. I still don't know how they charged it. But I was sure that they were going to send an email. You know, it's kind of funny. A lot of these places, oh, we can't do that. Your credit card, I mean, your debit card is, the expiration date is invalid, blah, blah, blah. Wait a minute, Jake. We passed our spot. Where are you going? Yeah, so here I am just yapping away and not paying attention. Well, the other day I was telling you, there you go, little buddy, that I wonder if Jake thinks I'm talking to him when I'm talking to you. Or does he just take advantage of the situation like a kid does, like one of your children does when you're on the phone? Well, he's not giving me his full attention. Let me see what we can do. But actually, in this case, sometimes we do go straight and not cross Frankfurt Avenue here. So I'm not going to get too bent out of shape over that. So, yeah, I was upset with McAfee, and I need to call them. I've decided to go with what I'm actually using in my on my Media Center computer, which is a program called Antivir Guard, which is free. Well, it's free for personal use. If you're in a corporate environment, you have to pay for it. And I like it. It's accessible. It's simple. It integrates with Windows quite well, and it appears that the performance is fine on it. Now, another thing, you know, while we're talking about viruses and phishing, another thing to be aware of on your PC, and it's a shame you have to watch out for all this stuff. It's kind of like I was talking about the other day, where sometimes you get these podcasts that talk about nothing but the minutiae of their podcast, and I've been guilty of that too. Well, you know, that's sometimes these computers, you spend more time keeping the thing working and not infected and blah, 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 than you get to spend any productivity time on it. But that's the nature of things. You know, there's the spread of these, proliferation of these viruses is amazing. I've even read of a virus writer's kit to help you get started writing viruses. It's a shame. But that's the way it is, and we have to deal with it. But as far as spyware goes, Microsoft has actually purchased some software from a company that appears to be very good. And what spyware is programs that get installed very often with other shareware programs or you know, file sharing types of software. And they can do various things. They're usually not malicious. They can monitor your activity and, you know, send information about the kinds of things you're doing back to whoever cares. But they take up resources, and they go against your grain. You don't want this stuff happening that you don't know about behind your back. So there's a couple of anti-spy or spyware removal products out there, and Microsoft is beta testing one of them now that they actually purchased from another company that appears to be a very good one. When I first tried it several months ago, it was, well, the accessibility was, you could use it, but it was a real pain in the butt. You know, there was no keyboard navigation. Everything was, you know, use your screen reader's review and click on things. I just heard, though, recently that they have an update to that beta. So we need to try that again, and hopefully it will be a little easier to use now. In the meantime, though, if you need to get rid of spyware, or you suspect you have it, there's a program called SpyBot Search and Destroy. And I don't know the link for it. I suggest you just get on Google and search for SpyBot Search and Destroy. And I think you'll be surprised if you haven't been aware of this and you're a little bit liberal with installing things, of the kind of things that you will have on your PC that you didn't even know about. Okay, well, we're heading into the driveway here. I think I've given you a general overview of phishing and avoiding phishing scams. They're so easy to, you know, it's so easy to be tempted. That's why they're effective. But avoid the temptation. Don't click on any links in that email that says, your PayPal account has been suspended. Take immediate action. And that kind of thing. All right. That's it for show 72. If you would like to leave a comment on our audio line, you may do so at 206-984-9203. And we'll play it on the air. Our email address is blindcooltech@gmail.com. And our web address is aph.org/tech/BCT. Whoops, I typed in the wrong number. I can't punch in numbers and talk either, Jake. I must not be multitasking left. Oh, one other thing before I go. I can make this public now, since it actually appeared in the August APH News. Bert Boyer, the early childhood project leader, has a significant conference going on August 12th and 13th. It's called the Family Conference. Hey. And we are going to be recording the sessions in that conference. So that's why I've been on this quest to find a decent digital recorder and microphones and so forth. So be looking forward to some more information from that. And like I say, in general, we're interested in recording more of the company's major events, like annual meeting. So we'll keep you posted on that. And I'm Larry Skudkon, your host for this edition, number 72, of Blind Cool Tech. Y'all have a great one, and we will see you next time.